Examples all about me. Examples all about me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Examples all about me. Wherever I look, I see examples of what my mental attitude is. Wherever I look, I see examples of what sort of thinking I am doing, what sort of attitude I have toward myself and my world, and how sorry I feel about myself. How sorry I feel for myself. The examples jump all over me, and they come up to me and when I least expect them, and they're all about me. But they're good examples. They're good examples. It seems as though no matter what I do, when I watch a video or when I'm talking to friends or when I'm driving or doing anything, I have the example of who I am. Now, if I feel sorry for myself, I am going to have all sorts of problems come up in my life. Really. I'm going to have all sorts of conditions come up in my life that are going to say, ha, 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 ha. Can't figure it out, can you? You can't figure it out, can you? And I seemingly cannot figure it out. Now, all of our life, I look around me. I go down to Nigeria. I go to Africa. I go to England. I go to Europe. I go around the world. Wherever I go, I find children. Children who have cell telephones. They have cell telephones that they carry in their hands, and they walk around talking to their friends about absolutely nothing, but having the time of their life. And where they got the money from to get the cell telephone, where they got the money from to get the cellular telephone, which is even more expensive than the landline, where they got the money to do it, it's very difficult to know. But they do. And they're walking around with their ear glued to the phone, and they're talking to their buddies and their friends about things that children talk about. And then we sometimes have a phone, and the phone doesn't function right for us. Oh, its advertising said it was so good. Its advertising said it was so wonderful, and we don't have it. Now, we have a cell phone, and our cell phone doesn't work half the time because we don't pay attention to it, because we are still tied up to our landline. And because we're tied up to our landline, we say, well, now let's see if we can find a less expensive way to run our landline. And so we get a less expensive way to run our landline. And then, because we're trying to do things so on the cheap, you might say, they don't work. They don't function for us. And they don't function when we want them to function. And all we do is get angry at our telephone lines because they're not doing what we want them to do. Now, for years, we've had telephones, and they've always done exactly what we wanted them to do. For years, we've always just sort of depended upon the phone to do exactly what we expected it to do. And then we changed our attitude about the phone. We changed our attitude about everything. We began feeling sorry for ourselves. We began feeling that things weren't working right and things weren't going this way and this is not how we wanted it. And it was somebody else's idea that we do this and somebody else's thought that we do that. And rather than taking responsibility for what we have and using our genius to know how to make it function as perfectly as it can function, we feel sorry for ourselves. And in feeling sorry for ourselves, the first thing we do is we give up the freedom of having things working in perfect harmony. Now, this is not unusual. This happens to so many of us. Whenever we feel sorry for ourselves, all of our life goes to pot. And it doesn't matter whether it's me or you, we can all do that. I felt sorry for myself at times too. I felt sorry. Doesn't this person realize that I'm adult, that I can handle these things? Doesn't this person realize that this is what's going on? And then I say to myself, and I must say that, am I acting like an intelligent adult? Am I acting like a responsible adult? Am I acting like someone who is feeling sorry for themselves, or someone who is happy with their life and happy with everything that they every moment create? Am I that way? I have to ask myself these questions too from time to time, because as I live in this world where all these attitudes are existing, I sometimes take on these attitudes without really giving them full attention and realizing that I'm doing it, and I'm acting like a silly fool. Now, we all do that. We all do that far more often than we give ourselves credit for doing. And because we do that, life is not as much fun as it could be. Now, are we going to do things that have to be done, or are we going to sort of skirt them and sort of not pay attention to them and not do what has to be done? What are we going to do? Are we going to let things go to pot? Now, we had a water heater that was acting up a little bit. And it was an old water heater that had served its time and done its job very well for many, many years. Many, many years. And then it began to act up. Now, we could have said all is in divine order and been very definite in our attitude about all is in divine order and had the water heater continue to function for many more years. But no, we sort of mentally cursed the water heater because it wasn't doing everything, then because it had a leak and because it had this and it had that. And the first thing we did was to say we don't like it. The first thing we did was to say we didn't want it. The first thing we did is to say that it's not doing its job the way it's supposed to do it. It's not being the kind of thing. Well, now, we're feeling sorry for ourselves in doing that. And that's not alone for one person. That's for many. That's for many. And when we do that, what are we doing to ourselves? We're saying to ourselves that all in our world is not in divine order. We're saying that all in our world is not working harmoniously the way we want it to work. And we all do this to ourselves. I enter into that as much as anyone else because I allow that to be in my environment. I allow that to be in my world. Now, is there a solution to such nonsense? And the answer is yes. It's a solution that's going to change a lot of things dramatically. But is it a solution we really want? Do we really want all to be in divine order? Do we really want all to be happy and harmonious? Do we really want the life to be a beautiful experience? Do we really want all of our telephones to work just the way they're supposed to work? If that is what we really want, then it's necessary for me to say, all is in divine order, and not look at one appearance that tells me it's not. Because if I look at any appearance that tells me everything is not in divine order, then I am putting that cause in motion. And it is a cause. And it's a powerful, powerful, powerful cause that brings about things and circumstances that are not very happy for me. Do I have the privilege of sitting down and taking each little circumstance and saying all is in divine order? Do I sit down and look at my telephone and say all is in divine order? It is designed to function perfectly. It can function perfectly. Now, let me understand how it functions and then go from there. Let me understand how my cell phone works and go from there. Let me understand how my landline works and go from there. Let me understand these things. It's interesting that even when our perfect landline or landlines or various things don't work It's because we are upset. We are unhappy about something. And when we feel sorry for ourselves, ever so small amount, is like the finger in the dam. It can keep the water from gushing out and from the hole from getting bigger, but it's a finger nonetheless. We want to put a new cause in motion, that all is in divine order. We want to put a new attitude in motion for ourselves and for our world, that all is in divine order. And as we do this, we feel a contentment within ourselves. We feel a peace within ourselves. We feel all is in divine. It is not all lost. The world's not coming to an end because we have a problem here and there. The world is coming to an end for us. If we let that problem exacerbate, we let that problem grow, and we let that problem become evil and disgusting and hurtful to us. When we can be unconditionally loving of ourselves and our world and the people that are in it, we'll find that our life is so fulfilling and so rewarding and so wonderful and so grand that all these things pass away. It doesn't matter whether we're a child, a youth, a young person, an adult in any way, an old person. It doesn't matter. It only matters is, what do we expect from ourselves and from our world? And as we expect anything from ourselves and our world, that is what we get, because that's who we are. And any time we let that old bugaboo self-pity come into our lives, we're dead. We're dead. Yeah, it's over with. We've given up the game. We've thrown the chips out and said, that's the end. And then we say, no, that's not the end. All is in divine order. I like me. I like me. I like me. I think this is a wonderful world. My phones work properly. I know why they work or how they work or what they're doing. And then I take it step by step. And when I take it step by step, I live in a balanced world, a balanced universe, a balanced circumstance for all in my life. And when I do that, I am unconditionally loving and happy. And that's what I am. Unconditionally loving and happy. I make that choice. I put that cause in motion. And it functions for me. And it functions for you. Because it's just that simple and just that definite. And it works now and forevermore. Have a good day. And know that I love you.